You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. You're watching Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Nicole Hale, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely.
And you are watching Fanboy Versus. I am your host, JD, joined this week by Nicole and Chris.
Yeah.
That's Chris McFeely, because apparently self-fulfilling prophecies come true.
It's not my fault.
We mentioned 2 weeks ago.
You cursed triplets.
So, it's Fanboy Versus the rotating cast. As
McFeely's a wizard.
He can apparently see into the future.
I'm a witch.
God. So anyway, yeah, Triplet bitched out on us like 2 days ago and said he wouldn't be here. So, alas. We still do not have a full crew, but hey, the show is live this week and
Yay.
On video.
Well, for a few minutes.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts.
See, you know, I remember when we began this show and I was so terrible, and now it's like I'm the dependable one because I leave the show to Brian Kilby for a week and terrible things happen. So
terrible, awful things. We can't speak of them.
So. Anyway.
But don't terrible, awful things always happen when it involves Kilby? That's what I've heard.
No,
I'm
well,
not saying it's true.
No. I give him a hard time. But no, usually things are really great. He's had a lot of problems with his internet lately. So
yeah, I know.
So internet connection, I guess I should say. It's not like the internet's having a problem. So yeah, news, I guess, is where we'll start. Because there's some of that that makes me sad. So, Chris?
There ain't a lot of it. It's just after 2 weeks on the same, beating the same drum, Marvel's still canceling stuff.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
What have we had now? Like, last week, I can't even remember what's been canceled in what order. We already knew that Victor Von Doom and the Destroyers and... I can't even keep track of. I know this week it's been announced that Black Panther has been cancelled, that X-23 has been cancelled, that Punisher Max is ending, Ghost Rider's ending, and last one, Decay and Dark Wolverine is cancelled.
Yeah.
Now a lot of these things are getting to come to an end. Like Punisher Max is coming to an end, and Decay seems to be coming to an end. Less so with the other ones, you know, and these are all the bottom of the list titles that don't sell particularly highly. And, it's not like I truly have to really gripe at Marvel for canceling like their lower, like a good slashing down is what Marvel's line needs. It, you know, on that level, I can't get stuck into them. But there is a tremendous sense of doom whenever you get that many cancellations in the span of 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you know, and I'm sure that, like, us on this show, not even a few months ago, were saying, man, Marvel's putting out a ton of titles and so many, and blah, blah, blah. And now we're like, oh, my God, they're canceling things. So,
yeah,
I mean, okay, there's a little bit of balance there. It's just, like, some of the things that they are canceling that is a bit... I don't know, strange. Like, you know, they've canceled Alpha Flight. That went from being a mini to a full to none.
Yeah.
I think that was jumping the gun, to be honest. I mean, none of these actively surprise me. Black Panther, that's strike three for Black Panther. It's not like I'm celebrating the deaths of any of these series or anything, but maybe Marvel will get the picture on the Black Panther now after three tries.
Throw him in a team
The latest
comic.
Of which involved stealing Daredevil's numbers to try and make it work. You know, give it up on that one.
You know,
and then, you know, on the surface, you look at Daredevil, I mean, Dick Hain and X-23, and you're like, oh, well, they've canceled two low-selling Wolverine knockoffs. Oh, what a loss to society.
Right.
But, you know, X-23 has always been popular. I've never been able to fathom why exactly, but she has always been popular. And I'm given to understand that since Rob Williams came on, who's the guy that's currently writing Ghost Rider, so that's two books that he's lost, since he came on to DKM, that book has really turned around. And even deeper than that, with the loss of Ghost Rider and X-23, Marvel has no solo female books left anymore.
Yep.
And with the loss of Dick Cain, that's their only LGBT-led book gone.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, it's, again, because not a few months ago, we were sitting here saying, why can't DC be more like Marvel? Look at what they've done. Now they've canceled all their female lead titles and LGBT stuff. They've got a few minority titles, sure, but... You know, now it's like, well, wait a minute. DC's got...
I'm trying to think of one.
Minority-led for Marvel? Spider-Man Ultimate?
Oh, yeah, okay. I was thinking.
Yeah, but they did cancel Iron Man 2.0. They've canceled...
Well, again, you know, Iron Man 2.0, that, as the first one out of the gate, that was, you know, that's, again, strike two for War Machine.
Right. So... Mm-hmm.
So do you think, like, Marvel's trying to do a whole reboot themselves, like what DC do? They're just going out a different way?
Well, I think it's become, 3 months in, it's become apparent. I mean, we still don't have the full measure of the new 52. And Marvel isn't suffering for DC's success. You know, that's the key thing. It's not suffering for it. But they have to come up with a response. And it's quite obvious that right now, they don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
They can't just give us a Phoenix event next summer and say it's that. You know, they have got to do something to blow everybody out of the water. And canceling a bunch of stuff, you know, trimming down the line is not a bad idea, but I think, you know, for everybody that's cried out for Marvel to try and pare down their lines, I think what they really meant was, could we have maybe only two X-Men books, and maybe we only need one Avengers book, and things like that.
Yeah.
But then, you know, these are the things that actually sell, so from a purely business standpoint, I know why what's getting cancelled is getting cancelled, but I think that, but that's just sort of putting a band-aid on the current state of the books, you know. They really do need a complete DC-style strip down and restart.
Heroes Reborn?
Not when I say restart. I have an inordinate soft spot for Heroes Reborn anyway, so that won't work on me. But
I reject you, sir.
But you know, I don't literally mean restart. But you know, they need a consolidation. You know, canceling the low-selling books, which are the ones that offer variety, to lose Victor Von Doom, Destroyers, DKN X-23, Ghost Rider, you know, things like that. It's, you know, it's sad that Punisher Max is gone, but that was a book that never really had a way, found its way after Garth Ennis left it. And we already have a superior mainstream Punisher title. So, you know, whatever. And the Max imprint has been dying on its arse for ages anyway.
What they ought to do is do their whole Ultron thing that they've been building up to. And I don't know what's happening to Cole, but that's wacky.
What's happening to me?
I don't know. It's like all pixelated and...
She's just delayed on my side.
Yeah. It's
over
here.
This.
Anyway, what they need to do is have... The Marvel Universe is just enormous right now. And what they really need to do is have Ultron come in and kill off, like... 70% of the Marvel Universe and really parse it down. And,
well, they have to come up with some kind of drastic response to regain their lost ground because although things, you know, although as I say, we don't have the full measure in the new 52, sales will slip back down yet, you know,
mm-hmm.
as the first story arcs come to an end and people make their true and final decisions about what's going on at DC, you know, things are going to slip back down, but the PR ground simply lost by Marvel, and to follow it up immediately by going critically popular but low-selling title X is now cancelled.
Yeah.
It's not quite, you know, no. There needs to be a consolidation, and that consolidation is not launch a third Spider-Man book, you know?
No, exactly. And I read that from last week, and I don't know if y'all reviewed that, but I thought it was pointless.
Was that Avenging Spider-Man?
Yeah.
I didn't. So,
yeah,
I mean, I've seen it get very good reviews, but I haven't read it.
For what? It had nothing in it. It was not even... there was nothing in, I mean, there was nothing I felt of value in it. It didn't seem, anyway, but I don't know. I have this inkling that Marvel's going to do this huge Avengers push right before the Avengers movie comes out.
Oh, right. Totally. No question.
And but, so I
is
actually
really launching a new Avengers title at number one again.
I have a bet with
a
my
response to DC, you know,
I have a bet with my shopkeep that in the month of May, there will be no less than 20 titles that have the word Avenger attached to it.
20?
That seems a bit of an exaggeration, I have to say. Are you including graphic novels in that?
I'm trying to remember how I worded it. But my vision is that they are going to have a big Avengers event. They're going to have all the current Avengers books, and they'll have tie-ins, plus they'll have solo titles with Avenger colon whoever.
I think you're going a little high there. I mean, you're going to have adjectiveless mighty mighty? Is mighty the new thing? No. Adjectiveless secret new academy assemble is going to be that new Bagley Bendis one. So that's five.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Avengers minis and things, they run now. That's why we're getting these Avengers one-shots now. That's why Avengers Solo is happening now. Mm-hmm. Because then when the trades are out, they'll be out in time for the film. There weren't really any Thor miniseries actually happening when Thor was in the cinema. There weren't any Captain America minis happening when he was in the cinema. Those came several
afterwards.
Months beforehand. Yeah. So
well, like I said, they bridged the two by doing Fear Itself between Thor and
yeah,
and
but
Captain
that wasn't
America.
Actually like that wasn't yeah. But you know, if you'd made that bet for an Iron Man and Captain America and said that would mm-mm. You know, but
no, it wouldn't have worked either. No, it wouldn't have worked either because
20
I'm saying
seems like an exaggeration, and I'm just not sure if it's going to start as soon as May. That's the thing. You tend to lose sight of these things. I mean, that's 4 months away, 5 months away, and
I'm going to stay strong.
Fear
on
itself
that.
Is barely over. It's not even really over yet.
No, you've got the Fearless still out. You've got a couple of other things. So I don't know. Yeah, I just. It seems like Marvel has now put itself in a position, or at least DC has put Marvel in a position where it's sort of like, you know, the ball's in your court now. And, I mean, based on the number of the... I don't know... In some ways, I don't even think this is really tied to DC. In some ways, I think this is just part of the Marvel process is happening at the same time. And when we saw that they had let a lot of editors go... Now
oh, yeah,
cutting
I mean, it's
titles.
Not like it's in response to DC or anything. It's not yeah. happening because of it. But the urgency of the situation or the drama is magnified 1,000-fold by the sudden burst of success that DC is enjoying.
Yeah. You know, and another thing that I've got that feeling with Avengers is Christos Gage said something about Academy, you know, coming into the next... event or whatever, so I'm wondering if, like I said, I'm feeling that big Avengers push coming around May, and like I said, one shots, everything, I'm counting all of that, so I don't know, we'll see. Anyway,
keep that, remember that one, listeners.
So there you go.
We'll see. Yeah,
I've put it out in the ether, so we'll see what happens. Is there any other news?
I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I don't recall. I mean, I haven't really heard anything out of DC. They seem to be
no. There's no
right
new
along.
Launches in the newest previews from DC. You know, so
yeah. I mean, this.
Oh,
just...
Batgirl's joining the Birds of Prey. I think was the height of the news we got out.
Is she joining, or is she just going to be like?
No. She's joining. Joining. She is. Oh. She is joining.
Mm, interesting.
Wow.
That's about it.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, it was just all the Marvel cancellations this week. DC didn't really have anything.
I'm really disappointed in Ghost Rider, in particular because that title had
that
four
was a minority female led.
It's a minority female led. It had four issues which were weighed down by the Johnny Blaze story that took up more than half of each of those issues. So the issue that came out last week was really the first issue that featured Alejandra with, like, on her own, like really being Ghost Rider and doing her own thing. So, you know.
See, I think Ghost Rider's audience is just so narrow now at this stage that nobody wants another Ghost Rider.
That is until the next movie comes out.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of surprising they didn't even try and... Well, that's the thing, you know, when the next Ghost Rider movie comes out, will we see another Ghost Rider number one, and will it just be Johnny again, you know?
Yeah, maybe that's the movie they're going for. But...
I don't think that the new Ghost Rider really had anything to really... truly actually appeal to Ghost Rider fans, you know? It wasn't about Ghost Rider, it was about some new chick.
Who was badass, though?
I'm not questioning the car. I didn't read it, so
locust.
I can't comment. that's pretty awesome, actually.
That is awesome.
I can't comment on the character. I'm just saying I don't think it actually gave anybody what they actually wanted out of a Ghost Rider comic, you know?
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing. It's like, for me, I mean...
It's like when they turned Thunderbolts into Superhero Fight Club and completely changed the cast, you know?
Yeah. It doesn't appeal to... I mean, and like I said, I'm a longtime Ghost Rider fan. I liked it. But I'm also, like, really flexible, and I'm willing to, you know, give characters a chance, give things an
opportunity. Okay, but this is, what is this? This is, like, strike three for Ghost Rider again, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just like...
The Marvel, just, like, step back. I think, you know, if there's anything that's about to be cancelled, it's got to be Moon Knight.
Yeah, that one's probably...
Which will be, like, strike four for Moon Knight.
Yeah. I mean, there's not.
I mean, I know there's a lot of panic around Avengers Academy, but
I don't feel it though. I mean, it's
no,
like...
I don't feel it. It's. I mean, it doesn't sell particularly high, and it's.
But it's steady.
It is entirely down to sales that this is happening. But yeah, it is. It's rock solid in its sales. I mean, if it starts losing sales, you know, then it's gonna feel it. But you know, X-23 was actually selling more than it. So her cancellation does not seem to be an entirely sales-motivated one. She is joining Avengers Academy, so I guess they're hoping for some consolidation of sales there as well. And I think they're also maybe just trying to reconsider what to do with her character, you know?
Yeah, X-23 is a bit of an enigma to me. I didn't even realize she existed until a few months ago, or maybe even a month ago. So it's like... I don't, you know, I'm sure there's an audience and appeal. I just wasn't even aware of it. And reading her backstory seemed kind of strange, but whatever.
You'll get to know her well. No.
So, I mean, I don't know. That's why I hate to comment, because it's like, you know, who knows? It could be good. I mean, much like I said, Ghost Rider is good. I mean, it's not like blow you away amazing, especially this like first issue on her own. I mean, she actually finds her, like, biological father, and he's, like, a human trafficker.
Ew, fun, because that's what they do down in Mexico.
Yeah, so she gives him the old penance stare, and, burns his soul out. It's awesome. But, yeah, I mean, she could spit locust. I mean,
that's cool.
That's just awesome in and of itself.
That is pretty cool. You know?
She had nunchucks and chains and everything. So anyway, but she was interesting too, because I mean, you definitely saw that there was character moments there. But that doesn't matter if it doesn't sell.
Yeah, it's the fact is, you know, it's like as good as it was, that's one of those things where nobody was actually even talking about it.
I know. But that's the thing, is I felt like it was weighted down by Fear Itself, and there was so much negativity around Fear Itself, especially towards the end. That
well,
it started
off good.
And I think it ended up weighing down things like Alpha Flight and Ghost Rider. And,
well, to be fair, I just think they kind of jumped the gun with Alpha Flight. Anyway, announcing Alpha Flight being upgraded, I think they just sort of jumped the gun with it anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like, I wish these books could get a chance outside of events like that, where they could...
You say that, but being honest, they probably didn't sell any more than they would have if they were part of those events. You know, the events, you know, for all people moaning about events, as much as bad as Fear Itself was, as bad a lot of these events are, they are the first thing people buy.
But it...
You know, the
it gives me an excuse. Gives me a reason. No, you're probably right. So... Now I've lost Nicole's video completely.
I have no idea what happened to it. It will not turn on. But can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, you'll just have to stare at Pinkie Pie.
Okay. Let's see if I can do...
Okay.
This... Nope. Okay, we'll just do this then.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened. Okay. I apologize.
That's cool. Anyway, so... I guess we'll review stuff?
Yeah,
all right.
Do that.
Might as well, you know. So,
what we do here.
Yeah. We like to review stuff. Nicole, then.
Oh, right. Third week in a row starting off. Number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is actually like... mainly because Triplett's not here.
Hey, I started off the last two...
I know, and I started you off the week before just to be fun. See? So, yeah.
Yeah, see? I like this. Anyways, I'm going to review Ghostbusters. This is number three of the new series. And can I tell you, the series is still awesome? Okay, so what it's about, you know, there's a Occupy Wall Street going on here. If you guys haven't heard about it, you haven't turned on the news.
No. What?
Guess what?
Occupy what, you say?
Well, guess what? In this issue, Wall Street occupies itself as the stock bear, you know, the big, huge bear statue that they have down there,
mm-hmm.
gets possessed and runs amok around the city. So... So that's your weekly ghost of the week. So the thing is, they're having to combat this because now it's more of a physical entity instead of, you know, like a plasmatic creature. So it actually has some physical qualities. So Egon has to figure out how to revert the proton packs to combat this physical entity. And so they had to reinvent new stuff. And... there's also a side, there's a couple side stories. There's a couple people who are trying to become Ghostbusters themselves, and they're trying to steal the proton packs. So you mm-hmm. see this little, the little, these two little guys trying to plot against them and try to take over. And then you have another side story where Ray has encountered a kind of a magical book. And whatever you pretty much think about or write down from your dreams, and it happens. Well, guess what? That doesn't come out too well in the end, because they talk about he gets sent back to where they met up with Gozer, and he's being forced to think of another entity. And there's a big twist here at the end where you can see what he's thinking about that has been drawing into the book. And it's pretty nasty.
Okay.
So, yeah, this book...
define nasty.
Okay, I'll go ahead and tell you. Basically, it is this demon-like creature that has impaled all four of the Ghostbusters.
Okay, so gross nasty.
it's not like really graphic. It's just like hand-drawn black and white ink. But you get the point. I mean, it's still something that, you know, a young person could look at and be like, oh, wow, that's kind of... bad. So this book is supposed to tell the future. So is this going to happen, or is Ray going to change what goes on, why he's being captured by this other creature? Again, this is also, they also have the, it's called the Paranormal Oversights Commission, where they talk about the Wall Street Bear all in depth. I mean, they give details. This is just one of the, like, little side notes. They have the gallery of all the different sketches of the bear. And then, of course, again, they have the fan art of young kids. So they have a couple here, a couple fan art of some 9-year-olds. It's kind of like a mini trade with all the extras that they have in here. There's only two advertisements that are in the very end. It's very well worth the $4 that you pay for. This series is awesome. And I get excited each month to see what's going to happen. And if you guys were a fan of Walter Peck in the movies, he does make his first appearance in here.
Oh, awesome. Mm.
So he makes his appearance. Of course, him and Janine get at it, and I love it. So,
is this true?
Well, they fight. So, I mean, each page is just filled with something awesome. The art is great. It's fun. And, of course, Peter, I laughed out loud twice with Peter. Some of the things he says, you're just like, oh, my gosh. So,
now, who's the creative team on this one again?
This one is written by Eric Burnham, art by Dan Schoing.
This person.
But I love it. It's awesome. There's a lot of great – there's the overarching story that has to do with Ray. And then you have all these little side stories going on, and it's just fun. There's something for everyone in it.
Nice.
Go out. Yep. Easily a 5 out of 5. That's how much I enjoyed it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
also, I was excited to review it. It's like, yay, this is fun.
Awesome.
Of course, The Wall Street Bear is awesome.
Should have done the Bull. That would have been really cool.
Who knows? Maybe the Bull's next.
Means less and less to me.
Do what?
It means less and less to me, honestly. There's a piece of news we didn't talk about. Was Frank Miller ranting about Wall Street this week.
Yeah, I try to ignore that because, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of people that got split on that because, you know, in some ways they were like, but we love Frank Miller, but we want to like Occupy, and we don't know how to reconcile these things in our brain. Yeah. It's like, well, you can you can like the artist and not like the things that they say. That's a very simple thing to do.
I mean, that's how I feel about Madonna. I mean, I like her music, but I don't like her.
I don't like her face.
I don't know. The Occupy thing is interesting. It has started to creep into comics as well.
I just thought this was interesting. I mean, they have fun with it, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like the most
politics. It's just the bear that's taking over downtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
So. I don't want to go into politics either, but I just don't get. I don't know what they think they're achieving.
No. That's a whole. That's a different
you know. Basically,
show.
I mean, Frank Miller was crass and crazy, and it's the creepy, crazy, shouty stuff he's been putting in his comics for years, and now you see it coming out of his own mouth instead of out of the mouth of one of his characters. But his basic sentiment, aside from all of the really misplaced like fury and rage and exaggeration, was, I don't know what these people think they're achieving by sitting on Wall Street with their iPhones. And I'm like, I don't basically disagree with you.
Yeah. But like I said, I think we'll see, you know, again, it's not uncommon for politics and comics to cross over.
Remember the tea bagging incident in Captain America last year?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it goes further back than that, The Question. I mean, you know. So,
Richard Nixon was the leader of an evil secret society in Captain America in the 70s, but, you know.
Yeah, even Alan Moore, I mean, talk about Watchmen, you know. So, I mean, you know, but it's not uncommon. And like I said, already in a few of my issues, of course, nothing DC, but a couple of Marvel things have already mentioned Occupy and stuff, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Just, I mean, like I said, however you feel about that, I think it's going to be interesting to see the different ways that ends up leaking into comics and such. Marvel's usually, you know, like I said, I don't expect to see much out of DC for it, but in particular Marvel.
Marvel's always been a little bit more just about the reflecting contemporary politics in the state of the world, you know, whereas DC is always much more open to a fictional president or whatever.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, that's just more of a Marvel sort of thing. But then DC just doesn't seem to be doing anything with that at all at the minute. You know, we got presidents referenced in this week's Justice League, but I don't think he appears at all.
No, and I think that, you know, with DC, they're so onto this New 52, and there's a lot of different, I mean, again, Justice League is taking place 5 years prior to the current world, and so
say nothing.
Yeah. So
I mean, I think once they get it all settled down, given the, well, we've said it before, it's a kind of Marvel-y sort of approach. I could see that, it just like whatever it is, like the New 52, it feels like a world where they could start doing more things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they need to get the basics of the world really laid down before they can start bringing the real world into it, and they haven't got there yet. So.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But we're not talking about the real world. We're talking about comics.
Yeah, the real world sucks.
Yeah, screw that.
The real world sucks. We need our superheroes.
Well, then, I guess since we mentioned Marvel, let's talk about something from Marvel. And I am going to be talking about Avengers Academy, something that is consistently good.
We always talk about Avengers Academy. We worry that we bore you with our constant discussion of how awesome Avengers Academy is.
But I don't, because it is really good and you should pre-order it.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Support this shit.
You should pre-order this. Don't just buy it off the shelf. Go tell your shop you want it every week. Anyway. Or every month, anyway. So
I was like, it's weekly now?
It should be.
only.
Okay, so basic overview. The title of this issue is Disappointments, and Man, does that ever ring true. so many disappointments. A lot of parent to, you know, sort of like mentor to child sort of things going on in this issue. And lots of sub things as well. You know, we talk about, we mentioned this several, maybe even last year when we were talking about Jonathan Hickman writing Fantastic Four, when really what you're waiting for is your opportunity to write Doctor Doom. And I think if you're like an, you know, X-Men, Avengers sort of fan, you're really waiting for your opportunity to write Magneto. And
I don't think that's as true.
Not as true, but it's in there.
In the way Magneto flip-flops, you know? Magneto can be wherever you are. Doom, everybody waits for their chance to do it. Nobody does Doctor Doom out of the gate when they start on Fantastic Four. Everybody waits for their Doctor Doom
that
story.
That savory moment. But this has been going on a while, and Magneto's here now. So, the basic gist of the story is, again, Jocasta got tore up, killed-ish in the last issue. And
I really, really like that they just don't go back to that at all with this issue. I mean, obviously it's the setting for it, but they don't burden what is already a good issue with little glimpses of the evil future Academy kids and reptiles being controlled from the future and stuff. Just let that simmer at the side, discuss it, and you got all this plot going on.
They tease
here.
Around it with little things that I'll mention, but, I mean, yeah, they don't really let that hang over the story. You know, Christos does a great job of that. But, so Pym wants to find out why. He's found an odd energy signature, and he knows just who to call to get the answers that he needs, which is Cyclops and his X-Men, because they have Magneto.
Master of the electromagnetic spectrum.
Yes. So Magneto's called in after several altercations between, disagreements between, I don't know, Quicksilver and Hawkeye, and the kids, and Magneto, and Emma Frost, and a lot of fighting. Magneto finally does what he came to do at the beginning of a whole damn thing. Finesse, having all kinds of issues. And they finally find out that they really don't know any more than they did. In fact, Magneto just gives them more questions than they had.
I mean, the key thing to remember here that drives this issue is that Finesse, a long time ago in this series, probably she started doing it before you guys were even reading it, she asked Quicksilver to teach, blackmailed Quicksilver into teaching her everything that Magneto had tried to teach him.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted the best of both worlds. She didn't just want the lessons of the hero, she wanted the lessons of the villainous as well. And this is the culmination of that thread, where she meets Magneto for herself.
And, you know, sometimes you shouldn't meet your idols.
Gives you a whole different perspective on life.
But there's a lot of sub-things that go on in this issue that I think are interesting. Some of the banter between the kids, I mean, in particular between Reptile and White Tiger.
Angry Mexican.
Yeah, between Hazmat and Whiz Kid.
That was brilliant.
And then also between Hazmat and... from Power Pack? Her name is Lightspeed.
Oh yeah, Lightspeed. I was wondering if Gage was going to hit on that at all. There were some very vague intimations towards that during the Loners miniseries that they were part of. I talked about that before. Ricochet and Darkhawk and Phil Urich, the current Hobgoblin. They did this miniseries called Loners. That's where Lightspeed was last seen, and they dropped this. And I'm glad that he's going back to it, because it didn't really come to anything in Loners.
Yeah. So we didn't actually say what it was, but Hazmat sort of makes the logical leap that Lightspeed might be a lesbian. Doesn't have a boyfriend, mentions girl power, has a rainbow. Now, mind you, she's had the rainbow since she was like 5. So, you know, it's not like that's a new thing. You know, I don't know where that'll end up. But yeah. I love this. You know, there's just a couple of nice little jokes. Like when Cyclops and his X-Men first show up and they're like, is that a Sentinel?
Destroy all mutants. Welcome, honored guest.
That's brilliant.
I love that. I want this to have an issue. Like, not right now, but down the line, let me just get back to Justin Seifert here and just see what he's been up to since his series ended like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
More Sentinel. I want that. I'm so happy he's in this. And the comedy is already, the lightheartedness is already there. Yes.
Destroy all mutants.
Did Hawkeye realize he has a movie coming out?
I think he may have become aware of that fact with this abrupt change in costume. He's also wearing it over in Avengers this week, and I feel like it might have even been glimpsed earlier than this, but it's amazing how it's just sort of popped up without any commentary or fanfare at all. Mm-mm. Do you remember when somebody changing costumes used to be a big thing? I miss that.
Yeah.
I miss whenever somebody would change their costume and it warranted a splash page introduction. Do you remember when Iron Man changed his armor once every 30 years and it was like, holy shit, Iron Man's armor is different, and nobody cares
anymore. He changes it like every week. That.
I know. I don't mind the costume, actually. I quite like the costume, but I really, really like Hawkeye in this.
You know,
like, Bendis has a soft spot for Hawkeye and he writes him pretty well, but this is my Hawkeye.
Yeah.
This is the Hawkeye-ist I have seen Hawkeye since Busick's Avengers. You know, he doesn't believe that the X-Men are. You know, what is this? I'm with Pietro on this. Look at these guys, Magneto and the White Queen. Looks like the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants to me. I'm gonna remember when Magneto brain zapped the X-Men into fighting us. There's mind control going on here. That really reminds. There was this whole thing where in Busick's X-Men again, where Hawkeye just wouldn't believe that the Squadron Supreme were acting on their own and that they were mind controlled, and it totally turned out they were.
Huh.
A giant man tells him that we can't begrudge people a second chance. Second chance? Magneto's had like 30. How many times are we gonna get burned before we stop cooking naked?
I laughed and like had to read that line to my wife. Because I thought it was so good. I was like, that is awesome.
Listen, Hawkeye, why don't you stay here and supervise the students? Things are tense enough with Pietro in there. Yeah, okay. All right, kids, huddle up. We're going to work on resisting mind control today. No particular reason.
You know, my only problem, to kind of go back to the costume for a minute, my only problem is that between this costume and 52 and Young Justice... You know, used to I could tell the difference between Hawkeye and Green Arrow. And now I can't tell the difference between Green Arrow, Red Arrow, and Hawkeye. Other than the color, it's like I'm playing Mortal Kombat.
It sounds like Ninja Turtles, you know, they just have the different colors.
I mean, it really is. Like, the sunglasses clad, you know, Archer is just, I don't know, it's... And I understand it's because of the movie. Okay, I get it.
It's more purple in the films, though.
Yeah. Let's see. Emma Frost compliments Tigress costume-ish. Or what there is of it.
Did anyone ever tell you it's inappropriate for a teacher?
Yeah. Of which Emma has a lot of clothes on in this issue.
Yeah, that's Emma's standard outfit these days.
Oh, I'm just making it. I don't know.
But I absolutely love this bit with Magneto and Quicksilver, though. The reason Finesse is able to blackmail Quicksilver into doing what she's had him do is because she's figured out that the whole cover story that he's spun... Well, Magneto has figured it out as well. They just have this exchange, you know, what is it they said here now? Magneto says that in return for his aid, he wants Quicksilver to just step away from mutant affairs because he's done enough damage, and Quicksilver can't believe this because it's freaking Magneto, you know? And he's like, what is it? Clearly, they don't teach history here. You coerced your sister into warping reality, creating an entirely new world. And when it collapsed in her despair, she nearly exterminated mutant kind altogether. I was trying to save her. You gave up on her. You would have let Wolverine kill her. I do not dispute your good intentions, just your judgment and mental stability. Burn! And then he carries this was the you tried to fix your mistakes, restore mutants' powers with the Inhumans' Terrigen Mists, and failed, causing war between them and Earth. That wasn't me, that was a Skrull. Oh, yes. A shape-changing alien masquerading as you was responsible for all your misdeeds. Really, Pietro? A child could see through that lie. Oh, and did. Or is there some other reason your daughter won't speak to you? Burn!
Dole.
Because all of that totally happened. Quicksilver's daughter did figure out what he was doing. This is years ago. This is the Son of Am miniseries and the Silent War miniseries. Nobody read them and nobody cared, but Christos Gage remembers. Do you remember whenever people cared about continuity?
What was it, again, talking about just Christos Gage, was it on Twitter he had an exchange with, was it Kurt Busiek about, he's like, oh, my brain is too filled with, like, the first name of the dinosaur man or something. It was hilarious. Then they had some exchange back and forth trying to remember the actual names of villains. Like, which none of them I knew. Like,
I got stuck on the same one as Gage did. So. Yeah.
That was hilarious. Follow them on Twitter, people. You'll get our jokes. And of course now, I mean, the thing about this whole sequence, though, is that Reptile and Finesse are actually watching and listening in because they're in, like, the observation deck, and he's got his super ears on, and she can read lips. So she kind of flips out.
Yeah, this Finesse really shocked me, you know?
Especially, yeah, she was the girl really who's pissed.
Supposed to no emotions and no relation to people. I mean, she's really lost it, you know?
You think she got some attachment maybe to Quicksilver with all
I don't know if there's a little hot for teacher going on there or not.
Well, I mean, I don't even know if it's that. Maybe it's more of like a, you know, like a father she never had or...
Yeah,
well,
you know, there's that possibility too.
More in that direction, I'm thinking, you know, like... Yeah, I mean, because there's even mention later. I mean, again, there's a lot of fathers and children sort of, you know, context to this. And I wonder about that because he even mentions, you know, Quicksilver mentions later that, you know, her parents were both, you know, bad guys or whatever. And that they weren't really much of a good influence. And that he couldn't even really have a, you know, a good, she couldn't have a really good relationship with them. But then pretty much from that point, that's where the shit hits the fan. And there's... You know, Finesse kicks Magneto in the head, and there's all kinds of fighting. Of which Quicksilver ends up actually, like, giving in to Magneto's demands. But not on his terms, because he says he'll consult, like, Storm or someone else. Not him, so... But, I mean, that's the brunt of this. Like I said, a lot of this is really interesting. And in particular, this little seed of doubt that Magneto... sort of sows at the end, or near the end when he's leaving, he's talking to Finesse, and I'm not sure about the events on this. Where there's something where,
oh, that was one of the things that Quicksilver, you know, Finesse says something about, oh, my parents were awful, or you know, not her literal parents, her adoptive parents, and Quicksilver just retorts, oh yeah, you think you had it bad? My dad hired assassins to attack me and my sister in its sleep. And it was just seemed like hyperbole. So Finesse actually asks Magneto here at the end, did you really? And he says, they were under orders not to injure them. But don't tell him that.
And it's kind of like, is that true or not? You know, because then you...
Oh, no, that's just a little jokey thing at the end. Because it's like Magneto genuinely did love his kids.
Yeah, in his own, like, twisted way. I mean...
Of course, he didn't know they were his kids when he was doing this to him.
Yeah. I mean, I seem to recall reading at some point that he manipulated their blood to control their minds at one point.
I think somebody may have, I can't keep it all straight. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Probably not. But that seems like somebody coming up with an easy excuse.
Could be. That was probably during the 90s. And well, there you go. So anyway, great issue. You know, again, like you said, some of the great stuff is that Christos Gage is pretty good about planting a seed and then just letting it grow, you know, letting it do its thing and not really, you know, messing with it too much. And so, you know, we have this inkling that Reptile's being controlled by his future self, but, you know.
You can see it if you're looking for it.
Exactly. But and well, part of it. And that's the part I didn't mention is there was some discussion about having Emma, like, actually, which is a huge ethics thing in my mind. There was a whole deal about having Emma go through and, like, mentally screen everybody to see what they knew or whatever. And I can't remember who was objecting to it at first, but Hank was kind of like, no, that is kind of what I was thinking, you know, maybe just a surface scan. And when she couldn't do that, I had to go to individual. Then he decided to look at the evidence first. And when they found out it was something maybe from the future or another dimension or something, they backed off on that. But I'm thinking, ooh, if they do that, then they probably figure out something with Reptile. But that kind of – so it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know, a little plant for the reader, but not, you know. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. I mean, like I said again, I mean, you know, I don't
this
think –
this is going to bubble under for a while. You know? Reptile just prods this – the conflict of this issue into happening, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh, yeah, easily.
But it's, you know, it's for another time.
Yeah.
As a story, X-23 joins next issue, you know, so it'll probably be more about that again.
That'll be something. So I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't know much about X-23, but, you know, it should be interesting to see her come in. It's she's genetically Wolverine, right?
Yeah, she's a teenage clone, teenage girl, Wolverine with boobs.
Wolverine with boobs. They couldn't,
but not really.
They couldn't salvage that Y chromosome. So
no, she was the 23rd attempt they made at cloning Wolverine. She actually was created for the X-Men Evolution cartoon, and then made the jump to the mainstream universe a little while later. Not much later either.
Cool. Yeah, but that was what I read. They couldn't salvage the. They had Wolverine's DNA, but they couldn't salvage the Y chromosome, so they had to make the clone female.
Like that.
That's my understanding. So, anyway, cool.
You'll learn more next issue, I'm sure.
Probably. So, anyway, that's me, Academy. Put that on your pre-order list, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Fight the power.
Yes.
Make sure this one lives.
Yes, must live on. So, Chris.
Thus far, none of the books that I've been reading personally have fallen under the hammer.
Yeah.
Or under the knife. Or
I mean,
whatever you want
to... I wanted to trim some books back, but not that way.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know?
Well, I don't have anything I particularly want to devote a lot of time to today, so I'm just going to touch on a couple of things. The first of which is Avengers 19, because this is the new team issue, the new teamy put-togethery issue. And there's just one sentence that I did, which is, "Fuck yeah, the Vision!"
Oh,
because the Vision's back, motherfuckers!
What?
I swear, all up and down, it's the Vision this month in Avengers. Oh yeah, oh yeah! The Vision has been out of it since Avengers disassembled. He got exploded, torn to bits by mind-controlled She-Hulk, and there's been a Vision with the Young Avengers, who was he had the engram, he had the programming of the Vision, but instead of the engrams of Wonder Man, he had the engrams of Iron Lad, and he was made out of Iron Lad's armor. So you know, it was a Vision, and I think with Iron Lad's return in the Children's Crusade, I mean, people were really thinking that if we it was in Fear Itself 7.1 actually that the Vision was seen in a crowd, like he had one line of dialogue, and everybody was like, "The Vision? What's that?" And we weren't sure if it was supposed to be the Vision or just Kid Vision from the Young Avengers. And everybody sort of assumed we would probably just have to look at the Children's Crusade, which is still pottering along and not quite over yet, for the answers there. Momentum has really died on that thing, even though it looks like it's going to be massively significant by the time that it's over. But no, you know, here, I think we might see the end of Kid Vision over in Young Avengers with Iron Lad's return. He seems a bit redundant, and we get the real Vision back over in Avengers now. And it's like, yeah, it's the Vision. And it's suddenly, with the sudden appearance of the Vision, this book has become the fucking Avengers.
Not just the Avengers.
No, that's the adjective for Avengers. Adjectiveless Avengers. The MFing Avengers. Because, the new team shakeup is essentially that, let's see, how does that now go? Spidey and Wolvie are off. They are off the Adjectiveless Avengers team. Vision and Quake and Storm are on the team.
Quake?
Quake, Daisy Jones. One of Bendis' pet characters. The one fucking burr under the saddle. Everything looked like it was heading in an interesting direction. Storm on the Avengers, really unconventional, but interesting enough that I think you'd get away with it. So the team is Storm, Iron Man, Captain America, Vision, Spider-Woman, Red Hulk, Protector, Hawkeye, and Quake. And it's just like at the last second, Captain America goes, "You, over here, you're on." And it's like, what is it that you see in this character of Quake, Bendis, that you insist on using her constantly? She's got seismic powers, and she was one of the figures in Secret Warriors, Bennett Hickman's Secret Warriors. But it's like, you know, whatever. She'll just do the same thing everybody else does in a Bendis Adventures team book anyway, which is stand around in the background and say nothing. But the Vision. But it's he returns great and everything. So like Tony Stark's been working on repairing him over time, and like a week ago he hit the right button or lever or something, and he started to regenerate. And then he's back, and I said, "I am sorry if my sudden appearance here is startling, and I apologize if I do not seem as moved as all of you. To me, it feels like I had only seen you yesterday. Obviously, I am happy to see you all, and happy to see Avengers Mansion standing." And Spidey just goes, "I don't remember him talking this much. I have been briefed on all current events and recent Avengers history. It seems you have been rather busy. I am caught up to speed, and I would like to." And the Vision just looks over, and Tony goes, "Oh, yeah, there's a Red Hulk now." and the Red Hulk's just, he's just like eating a bowl of eggs. And he's like, "What? Oh, hey, robot. Vision, is that really you?" It's the Vision. Yay. So Spidey and then Wolverine are off the adjectiveless Avengers team and just over on the new team now. So that's good. Like they said,
so they really
got their...
So now, so they've really taken them off. They're
yeah,
done
yeah.
There?
They've the adjectiveless team, as Wolverine says, has its mutant and spider person. well, here's the idea. You going out there? Hell no. Are we still on that team? They got their mutant and spider person. I feel used.
God.
But then there's this great swerve at the end as well, like, where, you know, Iron Man introduces the team, and you get the traditional, oh, camera flashes, Avengers, and all the questions start pouring in, and then boom, out of the crowd, "I have a question. My name is Norman Osborn, and I was ousted from my post as head of the Avengers and detained in a federal prison against my will without trial, and I'm here to rectify that situation. To be continued." Boom, what? Ha! Whoa, blindside.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm interested to see what comes next.
I don't know. I read new. Did you guys talk about New Avengers last week?
No, because there was nothing to talk about.
Yeah, other than putting the new Dark Avengers together. Yeah, that was something that happened.
That was a very uneventful issue.
It did,
but so Avengers was fun. It just caught me off guard. I was like, "Who's it going to be? Who turned the page?" Oh, it's the Vision! Yes, I wanted to jump out of my seat. I was just happy that Vision was back. And speaking of revisiting the past, Wonder Woman number 3 is also out this week.
I actually read this one.
Yeah, now this issue, I'm gonna blow this completely because DC didn't feel that they had to keep it hidden about 2 months ago. Yeah. Whenever they revealed the twist in this in the press or in an interview, in which it turns out that Wonder Woman was not made from clay, and she is actually the biological child of Hippolyta and Zeus, and that's about it.
Well, you know,
the other Amazons.
Diana has her issues of PMS in here, and she goes on a little spree telling everyone to, you know, go, you know, find themselves a new way of life, like she is, pretty much.
So. I don't know. It's just like, I saw this issue getting good reviews and everything, but it just couldn't do it for me because I already knew what it was about. So, like, I'm reading this issue on 20 pages, and it's like, this is 20 pages of nothing that was not already blown.
Oh, come on. There's a really good sex scene in there.
That's a pretty tasteful sex scene, actually. But it's nothing that I didn't already know or couldn't solidly infer from simply knowing that that's what happened. You know, I didn't need... Well, I mean, obviously, the story does require it. But it certainly didn't surprise me to have 2 pages of Hera and Hippolyta and Zeus's, like, courtship taking the form of them knocking the shit out of each other all across the world. It's obvious, you know, it's like, oh, really? An Amazon and a god got it on? I wonder if they fought first, you know?
Yeah. Are they Klingons? Yeah. No.
The bladed weapons there. You know, oh, Wonder Woman doesn't take it well and accuses her mother of having lied to her whole life. Jesus, no way. Seriously?
Really?
Wow.
I don't see why she's... Too. I don't know what she's all pissed about.
Well, it's not that I'm saying I don't get it. saying that there was not an ounce of surprise or tension or excitement or anything in this issue for me. You know, when they revealed the what the change was, what the twist was, they sucked anything out of the issue as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, like I think, well, it's one of those deals where it's like, you
good though.
Sorry?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
The art was awesome.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah, I mean, I think once they reveal the twist there, it's like, I probably could have wrote the issue. I mean, you know, yeah, it kind of writes itself.
It's exactly the beats that you would... I mean, and it's not bad because of it.
No.
But blowing it just sunders the substance of the issue, you know? I mean, the other Amazons are all a bit... They're like, angry because they're building the pyres to burn the bodies of the Amazons that Scorn forced to kill each other through magical deception, and they blame Wonder Woman for bringing war to their shores. And, like, it ends with Wonder Woman lighting the pyres herself and telling them all to STFU because she's going to leave and they don't have to worry about her anymore. And she's not Diana. She's rejecting her identity and she is just Wonder Woman now. I don't know, guys. I don't think Wonder Woman's doing it for me. I'm seeing all these good reviews and I appreciate what's happening in it and I really want to enjoy it, but I think this is strike three for Wonder Woman with me. I just don't think it's doing it for me. I wish I could say why. I can't pin it down. I don't care about Wonder Woman. You know, and I think, you know, this series has done nothing to do that. You know, it hasn't been like all the other series that have been reinventing their characters or reintroducing them. It's just plop, Wonder Woman, there you go. There's been no attempt to reestablish her character or to show us what Wonder Woman brings to comics or what Wonder Woman offers that nobody else does, you know. I was willing to give it a couple of issues off the back. I mean, this was my primary complaint about the first one, you guys will remember. So they're you know, there's no attempt made by these comics to tell us who Wonder Woman is, to introduce her in any way. It just has this other... I mean, its approach to introducing Wonder Woman is to completely undo anything everybody knew about Wonder Woman. And not in the right way, not in the ultimate here is a new origin style way, but in the everything you knew is wrong, forget it sort of way. It's just not doing it for me. And I would really like to like it, but... It's
I'm
like funny,
better
you know,
than
because
Green Arrow. There's a
well, I'm not reading Green Arrow, so I can't comment. I just think I'm coming to the solid conclusion that no writer is ever really going to make me care that much about Wonder Woman, despite the obvious talent that may be on display. I've given it several chances under several authors whose work I've enjoyed, and it's just never clicked for me. And I say to myself, maybe if I liked Wonder Woman already, I would be loving on this. But then I stop and think, if they completely redefine the character and history of somebody that I liked for a story that is, to me at least, not particularly better or even a very good idea, I don't think I would probably enjoy it even less in that instance. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm actually preferring this. I don't mind it.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, the idea of her as the offspring of God and mortal, like, that's pure Greek myth. You know?
Oh yeah,
and certainly consolidating. Well, we talked about Wonder Woman number one again. I was saying Wonder Woman's got a very muddled origin that just doesn't translate. The whole perfect being sculpted from clay. There's no relatability there.
Yeah.
And well, of course, there's always the question of whether you want Wonder Woman to be relatable or not. But I think you do as your primary female role model superhero. And I think this is an attempt at that, and certainly, you know, if there was to be a Wonder Woman film or something and this was her origin in it, like, as a method of simply consolidation and simplification to make it work on the screen, you know, it reads kind of like that, but it doesn't, at the same time, it doesn't read like an origin story like that because it's all told in flashback as a retcon. It's not a fresh start. It's not a fresh introduction for Wonder Woman. As a New 52, just like amongst some other books, it's really very muddled. And I want to like it, but I just can't. And I don't think Wonder Woman and I have a future.
That's unfortunate.
Wonder Woman and I are done professionally. Done professionally.
Oh, you're going to move on to seek other opportunities, and that's too bad.
That's about it from me. Yeah.
Okay.
So Vision is awesome. Wonder Woman.
Well,
apparently, I prefer my beings to be sculpted from artificial material.
There you go. So, Never mind. just ways I could go there. I'm just gonna stay here. Anyway, so speaking of Wonder Woman, then.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I enjoyed this.
That brings us to Justice League number 3.
Ba-ba-bum.
Yeah, still $4.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Not sure why.
Yeah, well, I mean, as of I believe next issue or very soon, there are going to be Captain Marvel, Shazam backups in this.
That would be fine.
So it'll be, and you know, it does have the bonus material that is actual bonus material and not that like, crap from Action Comics. But they I mean, last issue was good where you had the interview excerpts with Steve Trevor and Amanda Waller, but this is pure cheek. Yeah. What they try to pass off as bonus content. The first couple of pages of a novel about Atlantis, which is to say, its cover, a library card, a list of books that don't exist, a dedication to people who don't exist, and the sole bit of content is the actual foreword.
Yeah. Thanks. Cheek.
Sure glad Thanks for that. Yeah, that filled up them pages real
sure
nice.
Sure glad I got that for my extra dollar. What is this comic? I don't know. Wonder Woman. There you go. That's pretty much it. Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman. Hey, it's Aquaman.
Wonder Woman's taking her own stance on Wall Street.
Yeah. Let's see. Wonder Woman tries ice cream. They fight a lot of the dark side monsters.
See, I like that. I like the Stranger in a Strange Land thing. It's nothing to hang a series. Wonder Woman can never always be that. When Jodi Picoult tried to go back and make Wonder Woman that, whenever she started her brief run after Alan Heinberg before Amazon's attacks, it was dire. It just didn't work at all. But as an origin story for Wonder Woman and as something to hang a film on, Thor-style Stranger in a Strange Land is absolutely the way to go about it.
I think the best thing about this issue is Aquaman shows that he has a set.
Yeah, he shows up at the very, very end, but but we'll get to that. So, our mini Justice League is still fighting the dark side monsters, and Wonder Woman catches a glimpse of it on TV and joins the fray. I don't know. TV. I mean, there's not a lot that happens in the issue other than fighting the dark side monsters. There's a few things and revelations that I thought was interesting out of it. I mean, of course. You know, just to mention first, I mean, it's art. Art is good. Art is beautiful in this. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some really great stuff in here. I will say from that very first page, I looked at that and I was like, I'm kind of glad Wonder Woman doesn't have pants. It's like that first page is like, you know, it feels like Wonder Woman.
I can't disagree with you. I was really warm to the pants. I mean, I'm calmed back down, the trousers, as I would call them. But I'm resigned to the lack of them now. And, you know, certainly the all the gaping faces of the onlookers are sold much more with the lack of trouser. And it almost highlights the fact that she is a stranger in a strange land and doesn't realize, you probably should put some fucking slacks on there, love.
Yeah.
before going out and striding around. So it helps to sell that. I still wish she wore trousers today, though. I really got used to the trousers.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like the costume has changed, but it still feels like the sort of iconic
Wonder
Woman.
I like
this
new design. I really do.
Yeah,
like
they haven't screwed with it. It's one of the more successful readers. I'm still not totally sure about the blue boots, but by and large, there's been very little.
Let's just say it's very fashion conscious in the sense that it all matchy matches.
Yep.
But it's not too matchy matchy.
And when she's still got the eagle.
Yeah, and it's all silver. It's at least
exactly.
A consistent
See,
color.
You've got that.
I've watched a lot of Project Runway with my wife. So,
But now her lasso doesn't go with anything.
Well, but that's because it's magical. And it kind of
draws
attention
to it. Don't
you have
to match your handbag with your shoes?
No, it's not a handbag. It's a. It's a.
It's oh,
a,
well, it's the. It
it's an enchanted hurt. Weapon. That's a whole different thing.
It's the equivalent. It's her equivalent of the handbag.
Your enchanted weapon.
She goes nowhere without it.
It's in the Book of Fashion, right? Your enchanted weapon is allowed to not have to match the rest of your outfit. It's okay.
Oh, okay then.
Just ask him, Tim Gunn. He'll fill you in. It's okay. So there are three American listeners got that joke. Anyway, But let's see. Yeah, I like this little exchange though with the ice cream. I think it's, again, it's kind of fun, you know.
These are the ways to sell Wonder Woman. You saw it in the Wonder Woman animated movie as well, helping a little girl with something.
Yeah.
Well, because it's all little girls look up to Wonder Woman.
Pat. You know? Yeah, that's it, you know. Yeah. It's a little bit pat, but it works. It's pat because it works. It's a trope because it works. Yeah. You know, this does a better selling as an introduction to Wonder Woman to me than anything the Wonder Woman book has done.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and a lot of her shots and stuff I think are really tasteful. We talked about some of the really not so tasteful ways that the female form has been portrayed in this New 52. And I think that most of like her shots are very tasteful. They're not, you know, exploitive, at least in that sense. And hey, who doesn't love fighting monsters? Because Wonder Woman does. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
She was like looking for trouble. I love it.
Right in there.
I really got interested in this bit with, I always like, you know, background things and stuff. I got really interested in this bit with Cyborg because, first thing, the monsters are carrying people away, and Batman notices later in this issue that they're not like killing people; they're actually taking them somewhere. They're taking them away, and so we're kind of back at the lab at Star Labs at this point, and one of the people they take away is Professor Ivo.
Oh.
Oh no.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. And then Victor's father is going to, you know, put his son back together, and the scientist that's going to help him is Tio Maro.
Robots everywhere.
Oh my god. I'm like, "Holy crap, it's Tio Maro." So, that's interesting.
I really like this transformation stage that they used as Cyborg. Mm.
It's a lot more believable as well than his dad just did it. There's a bit of hoodoo involved, you know. He just sort of sticks the stuff on him, and it's weird alien tech that he doesn't really understand, and he just shoots him up full of nanites. It seems like he's got a bit of fourth world in him. I love this this page of him activating, you know, when you get the ping, ping, ping of the mother box as he's like attuned somehow through it to and it's like dark side sense. We don't get it. We just see a silhouetted figure on a mountaintop as it turns its head as if it hears the pinging or as if it senses Cyborg.
Yeah, that full one page. You know, again, just the pings, no lines.
Mm. It's like if you ever weren't entirely sure if Jim Lee can actually pull off something like artsy, beyond just like really big slap bang superhero stuff, you know, the way that Cyborg's face is blended into the landscape of Apocalypse, this is pretty cool looking.
Well, especially the bottom of the page where you sort of have that blending of Cyborg and Darkseid.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm all about this.
He starts yelling in binary too. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, that's a comic book code for robot went crazy.
Yep. R2-D2 yelling. But that's about... I mean, story-wise, that's about it.
This is your fighty middle chapter.
Yeah, and there's plenty of that.
Mm. It's time in this for the story. I mean, like, I don't remember if I was saying it on the show or not, but I was legitimately unsure as to whether or not this first story arc would actually involve Darkseid, whether it would pay off the stuff with the Parademon and the Mother Box from the first issue. And it did, and it's you know, this it's evening out after a wobbly first issue, like an uneventful first issue that was a poor trailer for the entire New 52. It's evening out to be a really entertaining comic, and you know, it's Geoff Johns and Jim Lee. It was always gonna.
Yeah, absolutely.
I liked how Hal Jordan called dibs on Wonder Woman, though. We missed that.
No, that was good. Green Lantern, as played by Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
I had dibs.
but I do have to say that this introduction of Aquaman was pretty
nice.
Damned cool.
Yes, yeah. It was awesome.
Geoff Johns is bringing the cool back to Aquaman.
Yeah.
I really like Aquaman with this reboot, and this just sold it even more.
Yeah. I mean, especially that last part. So who's in charge here? I vote me.
I vote me.
I am a king.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was the thing. Is like I could only see Brave and the Bold, Aquaman, like in that moment. Where it's like,
who's in charge here? I vote me.
Yes.
Outrageous.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah,
that's exactly what I thought. So, because I'm not reading Aquaman. So.
Aquaman's good.
That's what I've heard. Boy, they put that armor and stuff on Victor pretty quick too. That was
yeah. Well, this is basically what I. Well, I mean, we all figured this was going to be Cyborg's origin story. I'm still sticking to my theory that he'll probably like help win the day in some way with like his fourth world technology connection. Like maybe be able to blast them all back to Apocalypse or whatever. Anyway, and then I'm still sticking with my prediction that. As a comic, Justice League will jump forward to the present day. After this origin story, it'll hop up to the present, and Cyborg will be a member of the team in the present, as he was before the New 52 started, but they'll just jump, they'll carefully jump over that period of time that'll freely allow him to go off and have been a Titan.
Yeah. Yeah, probably so. I mean, that makes sense.
Sticking to my prediction, because it's gonna totally... I mean, it's not... Well, at this point, you can't say mess up history, because... History is whatever they're making it as it is, but I would just like it to be. I don't want Justice. I don't think anybody really wants Justice League to be in the Action Comics like set 5 years in the past, you know? Because you know you've got your present day Superman book. Action has the room to be the book in the past, you know, and be that separate thing. But we've only got the one Justice League book, and we don't want, you know, we want the Justice League in the here and now as quickly as we possibly can, so we properly expand the scope of the present day universe. You know, it's like that's one of the it's one of the problems with Justice League International, which is like, okay, we've got the Justice League International in the present day, but we haven't even seen the Justice League yet, so we don't exactly know what they're doing that the Justice League isn't doing. You know, their identity is in flux. It's not. It's hard to nail down what the point of the JLI is.
Well,
haven't seen the JLA.
No, I mean the JLI is a whole different thing, though. I mean they're sanctioned by the United Nations. Their whole deal is to be separate. And actually what they've ended up doing has ended up being completely separate from even what the United Nations set them up to do. So I wouldn't say like, I mean, they weren't even designed to like interact in any way with the Justice League.
I'm not saying interact. I'm just saying like,
well, I mean, that's the thing is like the JLI was designed to be a PR stunt. They weren't really meant to do anything.
But why is it that they need... I'm just saying, it's just like... The Justice League has been completely absent from the...
Yes,
the present.
That is...
Everything. Consciously. Apart from, like, one appearance in... What was it? I've forgotten what the comic even was now, where Wonder Woman, Superman, and Batman all went somewhere together. I've forgotten what the comic was. It was Justice League Dark? Might have been Justice League Dark. And, you know, I think it's probably a conscious thing, but, you know, we got to get the Justice League in the present day, and I think that's the next step to take after this this origin story is over. Wouldn't be too surprised if somebody other than Jim Lee was drawing it by then as well. Yeah, well, that's just my view. And hey, I am so ready for some Shazam backups.
Yeah,
it's like something missing from the New 52. It's Shazam. It's like it feels like there ought to be a Shazam book. Like
I mean, especially
one of the with so much diversity and so many different properties and corners of the universe, getting books, they're notable by their absence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So backup strips in Justice League, you know, a book I'm already buying. I don't have to buy another comic to get it. Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it does seem like that's missing because that character was in, you know, Flashpoint and stuff as well. I mean, so.
Yeah, Justice League is one of my favorites out of the New 50. After a wobbly start, it's definitely consolid and a very long break between the second and third. It's consolidated quickly and nicely into basically what I always expected from it.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I like it. I mean, I think there were some initial complaints and some things were, but now that it's sort of gotten its legs underneath it and started to move along, and like I said, I like the little side things too. I'm always looking for names and things to see. I mean, especially now that we know that like Ivo and Tio Amaro exist in this world, that sets up things like Ultimo and Red Tornado and Amazo. I'm sorry, Amazo. Thank you. Ultimo.
It's an Iron Man rope.
That's a, oh, yeah, that's a different thing. Anyway, so it sets those things up to, you know, exist in this world as well, and you know, sort of repopulate the world with things that we know. Apparently, we've lost Nicole, by the way.
Yeah, she had to run.
Ah, she had to run. I didn't even see.
Yeah. No, she hasn't dropped. She had to run.
She had to run. I like to keep a picture up because things screwed up. So, so we'll just leave that up maybe for a second. Anyway, so I guess that's it. I guess we'll get out of here.
Yeah, let's go in.
Yep. That's about it. Justice League, good. Check that out. I got caught up on Young Justice, actually.
Yeah, that is a show that has hit its stride.
Man,
after that rather wonky like Injustice League episode, and now every episode is not going, oh, the light, you see the light? Have you seen the light? The light, the light, the light. It is out there doing its own thing now. It's not so burdened by the need to have every plot tie into this. It has really hit its stride, and I'm really happy given how uneven Thundercats has proven in the ability to balance a story arc and character development to see Young Justice knocking it out of the park at this stage.
Yeah. And, I mean, well, I got the sense that that Halloween episode should have happened before that, like, sort of two-part where that went, I can't remember what the first one was called, but that went into Disorder where they had the mind,
Well, no, but you can see the dates, like, they happen where they happen.
I didn't check the dates, I guess, on it.
Yeah, so. Oh, no, this is very specific.
Oh, well, I'll have to go back, I guess, maybe. But anyway, the Disordered episode in particular was the one that really got me, because, like I said, this whole deal with Miss Martian, you know, we as the viewers have known for quite a while that she's a white Martian.
If you read the comics, you'll know.
Yeah, and so it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, we've known, but throughout the story, they keep going, it's like, well, they think she's a green Martian. Why is that? And then we find out, you know, in this past week that she just sort of hitched a ride with Martian Manhunter from the moon or from Mars. And and then that the perfect moment was when she was in the sort of therapy with Black Canary. And Black Canary says, oh, you've turned white. And she about shit herself.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. I was like, oh, man. So yeah, Young Justice. That's really,
it's really, you know, DC's getting the animation back. It's an anime, you know. I mean, DC we said it a while back on the show, is how just Marvel has just sort of been kicking DC's ass all across the other media lately, films and television. And the only area DC's really been succeeding in is in their direct to DVD movies. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm knocking Brave and the Bold, but Brave and the Bold was all they had over the last whatever 2-3 years. Whereas Marvel served up, you know, Spectacular Spider-Man, Wolverine and the X-Men, Armored Adventures, The Avengers, Superhero Squad for the kids. You know, DC's just had Brave and the Bold. And now they got Young Justice, which has got its legs under it now and is really running. Green Lantern looks set to be very good, too. I think I'm in positive emotions for that. We've got the new Batman series coming up next year. We've got this DC Nation block, which there have been trailers running for, too, which looks like it is going to have some mad fun shit in it.
So, yeah, they've really sort of, I mean, they've upped their game in that department.
Yeah.
Really,
it's sad that Green Lantern tanked so hard, but the film, I mean, but
right.
You know, if they, that's the one area they need to get now, and it will be DC domination.
Yep, it could happen. We'll see.
That's the iron is hot. Strike, yep. Get it right. Yep. I mean, it's not like they're not going to get Dark Knight Rises wrong or anything, but it's like, other than Batman, get it right.
Yeah, that's been the only thing that's been. So we'll see. Man of Steel is going to be coming out. That seems to have some sort of 52-ish ties, so we'll see how that goes. So, all right. Well, we're going to get out of here then, and we thank you for listening. Don't forget, we do have a Google Plus page set up, not just for RFC, but also for T-Formers as well, because we're sort of in with T-Formers and Comic News Eye as well. So check out them on Google Plus. You want to, I guess, plus one them is what you do. add them, something like that. So check that out. Also, all of this month from the TF Radio Network, we're putting out a show a day because it's National Podcasting Month. Last night, Nicole, myself, XV, and Paladin recorded a commentary for Dark of the Moon. So if you want, you can check that out. We're going to have another show featuring all of that group plus Brian Kilby's. Check that out. We're actually also going to be recording and putting out a Black Friday podcast. So I don't think that's a big deal.
Are you
going to
have anybody live on the floor?
No, and we're not doing it that
way. What's the point then? No.
We're going to
get somebody out there in the middle of the crush reporting live. Ah, God, no, why?
That would be hilarious. But no, we're actually, I think we're recording it tonight, actually. But it's basically going to be a lot of us that have worked a lot of retail, war stories, tips, tricks, those sorts of things, some of the deals that you'll see out of Transformers. So, yeah, surviving. This will be something to listen to while you're in line, you know, waiting to get into your favorite store. So we're going to put that out there as well. So check that out. I don't know. Do they have like a Black Friday type deal? And yeah. I don't think so. Not, I mean, anything equivalent.
We don't have Thanksgiving. So
well, I know you don't have Thanksgiving, but I didn't know if you had like
there's no holidays between now and Christmas. So
no Blitz Day then for for retailers. So we're crazy here in America. We do that sort of thing. Why? I don't know, but that's what we do. So anyway, check that out as well. Get all of that stuff. Comic News Eye for your comic book news. TF Radio Network. Join us live every Sunday. TFRadio.net/live. There you go. I mean, that's more than I can tell you. So anyway, thanks so much for joining us. And please tune in next time when it'll be Fanboy versus...
This has been Fanboy versus... Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.